Good evening. Welcome to worship, or shall I say, Happy New Year, church year. This is Advent. It begins with 6 o'clock p.m., and it's 6 o'clock p.m. right now, so we're in the season of Advent. Advent means that we're waiting for the coming of the Promised One, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So welcome to a new year in the life of the church. Welcome to the season of Advent as God prepares a way into our hearts through confession and forgiveness. The Word made flesh. That's our theme this year for Advent, Christmas, and also for Epiphany. A special welcome tonight to guests and visitors, those who are worshiping with us virtually online, and especially to our guest preacher, Dallas Groton, and his wife, Caroline. So good to have you both here. Dallas is a dear friend of mine, and he was willing to help me out because, as you know, I'm on vacation, and he saved me like 15 hours of preparation time. So thank you for that gift to me and to the congregation as well. A couple of announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, when you leave tonight, physically distancing opportunities are back there. There are paper copies of the church newsletter for December. There are paper copies of the prayer calendar for December. There are also Christmas ornaments. We have that tradition of going with our theme each year, and so that's been provided, one per household. And for the women of Emmanuel, there are some amaryllis plants because Dick Stanley is continuing the tradition of his beloved Nancy. And so if you were a part of Nancy's Bible study group, or you're a woman here at Emmanuel, there are still some amaryllis plants back there, and you can take one home tonight with you before you leave. You'll also notice that there's an opportunity for holiday cookies. The women of our congregation, Judy Pierce, got a Thrivent grant, and we're delivering them to three hospitality houses. And so Hope Lodge, the Transplant House, and also the Ronald McDonald House. And that'll happen this weekend, and for the next 3 weekends, cookies will be available. So if you want to participate in that, talk to Judy before you leave tonight. And then finally, also back there, you know how membership works here at Emmanuel, that it is a yearly re-upping. It's about discipleship. It's about living with Jesus and for his praise and glory. It's not just about having a name on somebody's list, okay? Anyway, those of you who are already part of the Emmanuel family, you know that we do that every year with the start of a new church year. And so now you have an opportunity. There are paper copies back there as well. We had several people that already turned theirs in even before we had them available because they're excited about what God is doing in the life of his beloved Emmanuel. So you can have your membership somewhere else also. But if you want Emmanuel Lutheran to be a church family in your life, a place where God is nurturing you and providing you an opportunity to serve to his praise and glory and for his kingdom work, feel free to sign a covenant. Feel free to ask me or anybody that's on the church council as far as how membership works at Emmanuel Lutheran. I think those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. Will you pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You call all nations to walk in your light and to seek the ways of your justice and peace. For the night is past, and the dawn of your coming is near. Bless us as we light the first candle of this Advent wreath. Rouse us from our sleep, that we may be ready to greet our Lord when he comes, and welcome him into our hearts and homes, for he is our hope and salvation. Blessed be God forever. Amen. As I light the first Advent candle, I invite you to sing verse 1 of Son of God, Eternal Savior.
Eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace. Fill us us with your love and pity. Heal our wrongs and help our need.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We sing together our gathering hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free. And sins release us. Let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
we prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word. A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You made him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the land in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, for we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join with me in the responsive reading of our psalm, Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth.
Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
You have fed them with the bread of your tears and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You make us an object of contention for our neighbors,
and our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel acclamation for this season of Advent, verse 2 of What Child Is This?
Why lies he in such estate, where hot and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fearful sinners, hear the silent word is pleading. Nail's spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his own work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he suddenly find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's a great honor and privilege to be with you here tonight, to worship with you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much, Pastor Dave. Great seeing you again. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine it's a bright and beautiful sunny day, just like it was today. And you haven't seen that sun for quite a while. So you're so glad to see it. It's just shining down upon you, and you're walking down the street, just basking in that sunlight, when suddenly the sun turns black and dark. Darkness is everywhere, and you grope around in the darkness. You grope along for so long that it should be night. You look to the sky and you don't see that moon there either, as the moon was shining so brightly tonight for all of us. But what's worse, in the sky you see star after star after star falling. What's going on here? You would be terrified, wouldn't you? Well, I know I would. I would think that the world as I know it is ending. Jesus said, "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." Jesus is talking here to four of his disciples on the Mount of Olives
overlooking the temple. They've asked him a question about the signs. What signs would be evident before the end of the age? And Jesus answered him. And he certainly answers them, I should say, in what I just read here, didn't he? Because we see signs of the sun turning dark, losing its light, the moon no longer reflecting the sun, stars falling from the sky, and the powers of heaven shaken. And those are signs. Signs of the end of the age. And then Jesus comes. Yes, Jesus returns. Jesus here is talking about signs that will occur before his coming. Now, there are Christians today, many Christians, who've looked at all the tribulations of this year 2020, and yes, I admit it's been quite a year, hasn't it? Filled with tribulations, both national, international, and on a personal level. So there are many Christians who believe that all these tribulations we are going through are signs or are birth pangs of Christ's soon return. Yes, we know that Jesus is coming back. He's promised it. This Jesus will return in a resurrected, ascended, and glorified body. He'll return. He will return. Then the end, the judgment. So many people think that we are living in the last days now. Yes, the very last days. And many of those people, I'm sure, would want me tonight to not look at just these verses in Mark 13, but look at almost the whole chapter of Mark 13. Because Mark 13 is all about signs before the end. So I could go back a few verses, and I could create some kind of last days checklist to determine if we are indeed living in the last days. Yes, I could go back a few verses before our gospel lesson for tonight, and I could read these verses, and I could ask after reading them, are there many antichrists out there leading people astray? False prophets? New age gurus? Cult leaders? Men and women that think they know something more than we do, who are indeed leading many people astray? Yes. Check. Are there wars and rumors of wars? Yes. Check. Is nation rising against nation? Yes, check. Are there earthquakes and other natural disasters? Yes, check. Is there famine? Yes, check. Has the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, gone out throughout the entire world? Well, I think so. I'll put a maybe there. Let me see now. Let me look at my checklist. 1, 2, 3. I'm not going to do this. It's a total misreading of Mark chapter 13 to create a checklist to see if we are living in the last days. But this exercise brings up a good question. Are we living in the last days? Well, I'll answer that question. Yes, we are living in the last days. What, you may be saying? Do you think you've been given some special extra biblical revelation from God? Do you think you're some super duper prophet who has privy to information that no one else has? Why, in the gospel lesson you just read, almost right in the middle of it, Jesus himself says, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Well, I'm not saying I know when Jesus is coming back. I'm saying that these are the last days. I know this, but by looking at the entirety of Scripture. Because if you look at the entirety of Scripture, you realize that the last days did not begin with some event called the rapture, or another event called the Great Tribulation, or some revealing of the Antichrist. No. The last days started when a frightened young woman gave birth to a baby and laid that baby in a manger 2,000 years ago. Yes, when Jesus was born, that's when the last days started. And God has established a special era in history that began with the birth of Jesus and is going to end with Christ's return. These are the last days. That is the era of history we live in. And this is an era of history that God has established for us to come to faith and to call others to faith and salvation. We are living in the last days. And what does it mean for us? Well, it means that Jesus, as King, could return anytime. He could come next month, he could come next week, he could come within the next hour. He could return at any time. So I'm not here tonight to establish any last days checklists. I know we are in the last days. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look at only one verse tonight and just two words of those verse in our gospel lesson, and that is verse 37, where Jesus says, "And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." Stay awake. Jesus isn't just talking to the four disciples here, no. He's talking to all. And that all includes us here tonight in Rochester, Minnesota, on November 28th, 2020. His voice tonight rises out of Scripture and has a special word for us during these last days, and that is, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. Now, as Pastor Dave had pointed out, we are on the eve of Advent, the start of a brand new church year. Yes, Advent. I remember when I was a kid, the church I attended had Advent services, so every Wednesday night I would go to an Advent service. Well, okay, my mother had to drag me, but I would go. And I thought back then that Advent was just getting ready for Christmas, you know, getting ready for the Sunday school Christmas program and having to wear those itchy burlap robes if you were a shepherd, or then waiting for after that Christmas program to be over for that big brown paper bag with candy, filled with hard candy and peanuts and an apple. And then, of course, there was Christmas and the presents. But that's not what Advent is about. No, Advent is looking back to Christ's coming in history and using that to prepare ourselves for his second coming, which may be very soon. We don't know. So isn't what Jesus says to us tonight, stay awake, a good motto for the Advent season? Isn't it a good motto for the rest of our lives? Stay awake. Stay awake. Stay awake. But the problem is that so many Christians can think they're fully awake, but actually be slumbering. So tonight I would like to share with you some possible warning signals that may indicate that you or I are not fully awake. If we find ourselves believing even a little bit that the Bible, that Holy Scripture, is not the written Word of God and contains the truest of truths, we're not fully awake. We're slumbering. Or if we find ourselves believing just maybe even a little bit that Jesus Christ is not the only God we know, the way and the truth and the life, and our only Savior from sin, from death, and from the devil, we are not staying awake. We're slumbering. If we're starting to think that, and even if we're thinking this a little bit, that I don't want to go to church anymore because I don't really need church for my spiritual life. No, I don't need to go where other believers congregate in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, where Jesus has a special presence. No, I don't need to go there to hear the Word of God publicly read or proclaimed. No, I don't need to go there to hear God announce that all my sins are forgiven through the confession and the absolution and Holy Communion. If we find ourselves thinking this way, we are not fully awake. Or if we forget our baptisms, forget that in baptism, Jesus claimed us for his very own. Yes, he chose us, and he's responsible for us. If we forget that at baptism, he gave us his Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit empowers us and guides us and leads us and motivates us, and that Holy Spirit sets things right so that Jesus Christ can live within us and through us to reach out to the world so that we can serve our neighbors, if we forget our baptisms, then we are not staying awake. We are slumbering. I talked earlier of how frightening it would be to have the sun darken and the stars falling from the sky. And yes, that would be frightful. But remember what comes next. The Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. If we forget the Jesus who is returning for us and what he thinks of us, we are not staying awake. We are slumbering. For this Jesus who is coming back for us, whether it be at his second coming or when Jesus has decided to take us home, this Jesus, Revelation 13:8 says, is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Yes, this Jesus who is coming back for us, this Jesus decided before you were even born, decided even before the world was created, that he was going to live for you and die for you. And that's what this Lamb did on the earth. He lived for you so that your life could be hidden in God with Christ. He died for you and for me so that his death could be a substitute for your death. Your death now is, your physical death is merely a doorway in which you enter into completely beautiful, wonderful, everlasting life, celebrating with Jesus and his loved ones in perfect love, joy, and peace forever. Yes, this Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he is the one who is returning for you. And this Lamb loves you with an everlasting love, as it says in Jeremiah 31:3. This Lamb's plan for your future is always filled with hope, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11. This Lamb's thoughts toward you are as countless as the sand in the seashore, as it says in Psalm 139:17. This Lamb rejoices over you with singing, as it says in Zephaniah 3:17. This Lamb will never stop doing good to you, as it says in Jeremiah 32:40. And to this Lamb, you are his treasured possession. I admit that we live in frightful times, but we have to remember that because Jesus died and rose for us, and because the Holy Spirit created and sustained saving faith in us, we can be sure of our salvation. And whatever signs and tribulations of the future frighten us, we can be assured that Jesus loves us. He loves us that much that he died an excruciating death on the cross for us. So remember your baptism. Remember it was Jesus who baptized you. And at your baptism, Jesus held you in his arms. And Jesus holds you right now. And far, far into the future, and way beyond that, Jesus will still be holding you. He will hold you into eternity. So remember the words of Jesus tonight. Now and for the rest of your lives, please remember, stay awake. Stay awake. Stay awake. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are awake. God loves you. Jesus died for you. All of your sins are forgiven. So fear not and stay awake. Dear Father, your word is truth. Please make us holy in your truth. Amen.
Amen. We sing together our hymn of the day, Lift Up Your Heads. Please rise as you are able.
Lift up your head, ye mighty gate, behold the King of glory reigns. The King of kings is drawing near, the Savior of the whole world is here. Fling wide the portals of your heart, make it the temple set apart from earthly use for heaven's employ, adorned with prayer and love and joy. Redeemer, come with us abide. Thy grace and love in us revealed.
Please join with me in the confession of our faith. During the season of Advent, we'll be using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life for the world to come. Amen. Congregation may be seated. I remind you that we have an offering basket as you leave tonight. If you want to put your tithes in there, if you give in support of God's mission in other ways, thanks be to God. Also, don't forget to pick up some of the gifts that are back there for you as well. We close with our prayers. As we await the coming of our Savior in mercy and majesty, let us pray to our Heavenly Father for the church, the world, and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you've given us the stars as markers of days and seasons, and we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of a new church year. Keep us faithful as we move through its observances and celebrations. May we gather often to hear the proclamation of your Son and receive the gifts you so freely bestow upon us. Grant, O Lord, that we may always stay awake and not slumber. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We do not know the time when the Son of Man will come. That knowledge belongs only to you, gracious Father. Keep us watchful and ever ready for his arrival. Grant that we may be gathered from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you are our Father. Hide not your face from us. Look with kindness, especially upon those that we name before you tonight, those who seek your healing presence and your healing face. We pray for Dan Grimsrud. We pray for Brian Belter, for Vicky Mulvihill, for Nancy Webster, for Mel Harris, for Barb Stephenson, for Dan Berkland, for Pam Dinkin Joyner, for Mark Hayseth, for Karen Peterson, for Nick Nin. And all who cry out to you in time of need, according to your will, give healing to the sick, comfort to those who mourn, and perseverance to those who suffer for the sake of your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we pray for your mercy with this COVID-19. We pray, O Lord, that we would always be watchful and ready for your return. And we pray that you would give us repentant hearts as you give us forgiveness of sins. Into your hands, merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our sending hymn, O Jesus, joy of loving heart. Go in peace, serve the Lord.